let's say how we see this. We're going to kind of elaborate on how we see this this draft going out. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. So first, Edmonton Oilers will pick Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I believe. I think he's pretty much exactly what they need to return back to the top of the NHL. He would be great along with Taylor Hall and Eberle and Magnus Bjarvi. I think he would fill a great role. I mean, his vision has been compared to Gretzky. I don't know if that's really a good thing to say about somebody because it puts a lot of pressure on their head, but I think he's very deserving of the first pick. He had a fantastic year with Red Deer. Red Deer didn't make it very far in the playoffs, but I mean, the guy had 31 goals, 75 assists, 106 points in the playoffs. He did pretty good. He was 9 games played, 4 goals, 7 assists. He's a great playmaker. The thought of him and Taylor Hall on the line, you know, Hall with his incredible goal scoring ability, and then Nugent Hopkins with his playmaking ability, that's scary. That's very scary when they both mature to like get into their primes. I think the Oilers are gonna go with they're gonna stick with Nugent Hopkins.
I think that from an organizational standpoint that they're better off taking Adam Larson, but from a best player available standpoint, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the best player in this draft. He's pretty much the only one in the draft I could see becoming a first-line player. I think he's their guy because they're going to pick best player available and not organizational need. So I would agree with you. Nugent-Hopkins will go first overall to Edmonton.
Okay, number two, Colorado. Well, if Nugent-Hopkins is gone, I think the most likely option will be Adam Larson. They got Eric Johnson in the trade last year. They have John Michael Lyles, but they do need, they are missing that big, bulky defenseman. So I think Larson, the thing with Larson is it's odd. A lot of his prowess and a lot of what people rave about him comes from last year. He didn't have a great year this year. It was kind of more of a down year. I mean, the skill is definitely there. Everyone knows the skill is there. I mean, he's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's only going to grow more. He's a complete shutdown defenseman. He's compared to Nicholas Chumwa. I think that mostly has to do with his nationality. I think he's going to be a definite number one or number two in this league. But I think Colorado also has to fill a hole on offense. And there was a rumor that they were really looking hard at offense right now. And obviously, they're not going to trade up to the number one, but I can see them picking Huberdeau. I think he would slot in very well as a second-line center. I mean, right now their second-line center is Ryan O'Reilly. No discredit to him, but he's more of a third-line center. He can even play left wing with Matthew Shane. So, you know, he kind of can transition there. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Colorado has a lot of gaping holes, and I don't see them making the playoffs again this year. But in terms of a longer run thing, I think either having a 1-2 punch in center with Matt Duchene and Huberdeau would be great, or having Duchene and Huberdeau in the same line if they want to just stack up front would be good. But they also need that defense.
It's sad because we're already on the second pick, and we have no idea what's going to happen. Kind of the same thing that we talked about before. Colorado, they need everything, like you said. I almost get the feeling that they feel that they got their top defenseman when they traded for Eric Johnson, and it kind of left a hole because they traded Chris Stewart in that deal. And didn't they trade Shattenkirk in that deal, too?
Yeah, they did.
So they kind of have a bunch of holes. But Eric Johnson obviously has the potential to be an outstanding defenseman. So they may go forward. I know that's been the rumor. But when all is said and done, the best player available at number two is Adam Larson. And like we talked about, you need defense to win. Their goaltending situation is, questionable. So I think when all is said and done, when the rumors stop, they will pick Adam Larson with the second pick in the draft.
I would agree with that. All right, number three, we have the Florida Panthers for getting another year in the lottery. That's tough. I mean, Florida has a lot of young players. They have Kukulov, who was really good in what, I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of Pittsburgh games, I mean, a lot of Florida games, but he was good. I think he definitely has potential. But Florida's always kind of been known for, it was Kukulov, right? That's what I'm thinking
Kukulov,
of. Yeah, well, he was, Then they have Dadnoff on right wing. They have Barty Reasoner at center. Steven Weiss, obviously, all the potential in the world, and he's been getting better every year. They got Bert Forrest from, he got traded from Jersey to Atlanta, not anymore, but Jersey from Atlanta to Florida. So they have a very odd depth chart right now. It's completely young players, but no really solid, like, standout player. They kind of remind me a lot of like, a Phoenix team where all the goal, or Nashville, I should say, on offense, where they really don't have that one player who's, like, rest above rest. But it's more of, like, a complete effort. So I see Florida going with Sean Couturier, much to my dismay. I think he would fit in very well. He would be a number one center on the team, obviously. He's got his extreme playmaking skills, and he would fit well with Dadnoff, and I think Samsonov's on their first yeah. line right now. I think they're gonna go with Sean Couturier.
I'm like undecided already. But Florida took Eric Goodbranson with their first pick last year, so I don't think they're gonna go D again. They said on TSN's mock draft last night that Dale Talon has never picked a European in the first round, which is. I think they go center because they're definitely lacking depth down the middle, and they need a guy that is projected to be in the top six. And I was kind of undecided as far as if they were going to go Couturier or Huberto, but I think that Dale Talon loves his winners, and I think after the Memorial Cup, I think it kind of, if he's there at three, I do think that Florida will take Jonathan Huberto. So, just to recap so far, we have the same top two, Nugent Hopkins and Larson, and you have Florida taking Couturier, and I have them taking Huberto.
Okay, so, well then, it obviously makes sense for at number four, the New Jersey Devils, I believe, will take Jonathan Huberto. I think he, you know, the Devils have a huge thing, a winning organization who's been very successful in the past. They have Zajac at center, and, you know, no discredit to Zajac, he's a great center, but having a line of Huberto, Kovalchuk, and Elias is outright scary. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't happen this year. I think they'd probably send him back to juniors for another year, because from the combine, he only did two bench presses, and that's very, very weak, you know, compared to when you're going to be going up against top defenders on the first line. Huberto's quick, just like Kovalchuk. He will, you know, Kovalchuk kind of had a rise towards the end of the season when they had that full playoff rush, but the playmaking of Huberto plus the goal-scoring ability and sniping of Kovalchuk makes for a very deadly combo, so I think that the Devils are, if he is available, which I think he will be, or they're going to go with the Memorial Cup winning Jonathan Huberto.
I think that the Devils, and I could be wrong, but the Devils finished, I believe, last in the league in goal scoring last year. So they're going to want a guy on a quick fix that's going to come relatively cheap because I don't know how their cap situation is. And I kind of feel that they feel that they're okay on defense because even though Marty Brodeur had an off year, he's still Marty Brodeur. So, and obviously with the questions about Zach Parise's contract status up in the air, much to my dismay because I would love for him to fall to five. But I think the Devils are going to go with Gabriel Landeskog because he'll be able to step in immediately next season and contribute. That's something that no one else in the draft at that point is really going to be able to do. So, while they do need help at center without question, I think they're, for a short-term and long-term basis, that Landeskog will end up being their guy.
All right, well, we pretty much already covered we covered who we want the Islanders
to take. Yeah, we covered who we want the Islanders to take. Now let's talk about who they will take.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking Hamilton. I like that. I mean, they said that they were looking for D, and if they go for Oleksiak, I'm going to go hide in the hole for 2 months. I think Hamilton, again, fills exactly what they need. I think Garth knows that our D is very, very weak besides these, you know, these upcoming players like McDonald and Hamick and, you know, the veteran presence is straight. I think he realizes that it's just a huge hole that cannot be ignored anymore. Unless he feels like he can definitely get someone like Hannon or, you know, any other D prospects out, unless you could free agent D-man. I think he's going to go with Hamilton. I think it makes the most sense with the team. I think the future of possibly Hamilton being number one, Hamidic number two, I mean, AMAC, Calderon, Matt Donovan, Aaron Ness, I think that's a great decor for the future. And Garb knows that, but he needs to draft D. Now, I know a lot of people are against drafting D in the top five or so, or even in the first round, but I think to lose Hamilton's potential, I think it would just be a mistake, and I think Garb knows that. So I believe the Islanders will go with Dougie Hamilton at number five.
Okay. I actually do not think the Islanders are going to go defense. And the reason believe me, I want them to pick Dougie Hamilton at this point. Between him and Couturier, I'm kind of torn, but my preference would be Hamilton. But the reason I don't think they're going to go defense is a couple of reasons. First of all, in 2008, they had Luke Shen on a platter who's not the same player. Hamilton has more offensive capabilities, but they're similar in the sense where they're probably they're a little more defense-oriented, tough. Hamilton obviously is more two-way, but I don't think they're going to take him. And for that reason, they probably feel that they can either get back in the first round or in the second round pick a defenseman with good potential. And they wouldn't be wrong. But so I think they're going to go forward. And you know how much placement the Islanders put on their psychological testing. And they like to take their risers and not the guys that fall. So I don't think they're going to take Sean Couturier there. I think that the player that the Islanders will take is the player that we see feeding Michael Grabner for breakaways for years to come. And he was Dougie Hamilton's teammate at Niagara. And I think the Islanders will take Ryan Strome at number five.
Okay, so to recap, I have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins going first to the Oilers, Adam Larson going second to the Avalanche, Sean Couturier going at three to the Panthers, Jonathan Huberdeau going at four to the Devils, and at number five, Dougie Hamilton going to the Islanders.
Yeah. Do you want to keep going to like seven or eight, or do you want to?
This draft is kind of like that, so let's just go to eight. Number six, we have the Ottawa Senators. They had been rumored to go for Landeskog because they want him to fill the role that Alfredson had. I could see that happening. I think having him on a line with Spezza and Ryan Shannon would be very good for them. I think it kind of fits with their style of play. Landeskog's good. He's got leadership material. Again, another replacement for Alfredson. I think they're going to go with the NHL-ready player in Landeskog, and they'll hit a home run with him.
Yeah, I think Otto would be absolutely thrilled if Landeskog ends up dropping to six, and I wouldn't be surprised if at four he's still there and they make a trade with New Jersey. They spot picks because I think the Devils, like I said, they may have their eye on someone else, but for the reasons I said, they might end up just wanting Landeskog. For Ottawa, though, I think they're going to try to fill a hole long-term that was left when they traded Mike Fisher. And I don't know what Jason Spezza's deal is, if he'll be there long-term or not. That's really up for debate. But I do think the Senators will go forward, and I think that they will pick Sean Couturier at number six.
Okay, next we move on to the Winnipeg No Names at number seven. Some mock drafts I've read have said that they're going to draft Zibanejad. They do have a pretty gaping hole at center. I mean, their number one center right now is Nick Anchorov, and, you know, no discredit to him, but he's not a number one center. They have Burmistrov, they have Maxwell, but I do believe that they're going to... I don't know exactly if they're going to go with either Strome or Zibanejad. I see it more as being Strome because I feel like they want that really speedy player. Especially mixing with players like Wheeler, Ladd, Kane. They don't really need D. I mean, they have Bufflin, they have Hainsey, Bogosian, Enstrom, Aduya. They're pretty stacked on D. They're definitely going to look for center. If I had a choice between Zibanejad and Strome, I think that they're going to go with Strome. He just seems to have more potential than Zibanejad. I see Zibanejad, even though people have talked about him going the like three or four, I see Zibanejad slipping down more towards the like mid-first. So I believe the Winnipeg No Names will take Ryan Strome.
I think that Kevel Sheveldayoff is schooled in the Chicago Blackhawk ways, and he saw how Chicago won their cup. And yes, they had Kane and Taze, but the real difference makers, because they had a very average goalie, the real difference makers on that team were Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook and the defense. Obviously, that was a great team, but they were built from the back end, as well as the forwards, but, you know, they had two great defensemen. I think they're going to go D, and I think it's because when you look at the Winnipegs, they have the option to move Dustin Byfuglien back to forward, but they also have Toby Enstrom and Bogosian, and after that, it's kind of like, meh. And with a guy like Dougie Hamilton, who's sitting pretty at number 7, I do think the Winnipegs and their black and white NHL jerseys will go and take Dougie Hamilton at number 7.
Okay, and then I guess we'll wrap this up with the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's tough. I don't really have a solid pick for Columbus. They don't really have that. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, they have Upshaw, they have Umberger on the wings. I mean, they have Voracek, although there's rumors that he's getting traded. Maybe Salia. So their wings are pretty decent. They have Hida on defense. Vetter Tuten, who's, you know, whatever. Their D is very, very, very weak right now. And they also don't really have a very strong offense. So if he falls this far, and again, with Murphy, it's so difficult to tell because some people may really think he's like the home run player, but I think that Murphy would fit in the best with Columbus's current depth chart.
I'm going to condition this because if this rumor about Ilya Bryzgalov signing for over $7 million is true, then I think that Columbus will bite on Jeff Carter. So I'll go twofold. If the pick is Philadelphia, I think they're going to take Zibanejad to fill the Carter loss long term, but that's on the side. If it's Columbus, and when I look at Columbus, like you said, they're a team that kind of just, they have like middle to high-end talent, but no, like real high-end talent. And I think at number 8, if he's sitting there, and they have a real chance to hit a home run because, I mean, Scott Housen is not going to get that many more years at this if they continue to miss the playoffs. So he's going to have to hit a home run, and I think this will be the year he tries to do it. So at 8, I think Columbus will take Ryan Murphy to complement their current deep prospect pool with, I believe they have John Moore. So I think that Ryan Murphy will be their pick.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. We've got 1 through 8. I have, once again, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins going at number 1, Adam Larson going number 2, Sean Couturier going at number 3, Jonathan Huberdeau going at number 4, Dougie Hamilton going at number 5, who did I have going at number 6? Alanis Scott going at number 6. Number 7 was, who was my number 7? To the Jets. I don't remember.
Strom, you had Strom.
Yeah, and number 8 was Ryan Murphy.
My top 8 was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to Edmonton, Colorado would take Adam Larson, Florida would take Jonathan Huberdeau, New Jersey will take Gabriel Landeskog, the Islanders will take Ryan Strome, Ottawa will take Sean Couturier, the Winnipegs will take Dougie Hamilton, and Columbus will take Ryan Murphy.
All right.
We're all over the place.
I think that wraps up. Yeah, this is just a crazy draft. I haven't really followed the draft that intently in previous years, except for the Bailey draft and the Tavares draft, obviously. And even last year, I was away for when they drafted Niederreiter. But it's a very, very interesting draft. I mean, you even have players who are, you know, ranked in some drafts as going like mid first, who could go in the top 5. You know, you just really never know. So. Should be interesting to see what the Islanders do with them being probably, in my opinion, the biggest team on the rise with the biggest chance to, you know, get to the playoffs next year out of the lottery teams at least. It's gonna be very interesting.
I can't wait because I think that this draft is going to end up proving more important than people think. Not because I don't think it's like this watershed drop where, you know, it's like the Tavares thing where the world's going to crumble if they don't take him. But the Islanders have a real chance because hopefully this is their last year picking in the top five.
I hope
this
so.
Better be their last year picking in the top five.
I don't know what I'll do if they have to do it again next year.
So, you know, they have one final chance to add a guy that will either be a top four, top two defenseman, or a top six forward in the draft this early. So I think it's going to be a lot more important than people think, and they have a real good chance to add a guy that will help this team for years. So I'm not as nervous as I was going into previous drafts because I think there's this huge group of eight or nine guys that the Islanders will have to choose from. Like, there is not a clear top four, but there's guys that edge toward the top four, but they're all kind of in the same relative tier. So it's not like we're missing out like we were missing out in 2008 after Doughty, Bogosian, Pietrangelo. It's not like that this year. There's just a grouping of eight or nine. So we better get one of those eight or nine guys. Any of those guys I'll be extremely satisfied with. And we'll take it from there. I mean, you know, they have one pick in the first round, two in the second round, one in the third, and I think in their fourth round pick is in the top 100 too. So they're picking five times in the top 100. So they have a real good chance to definitely get some more depth in the organization. Obviously, it's much needed. So
yeah, hopefully Bridgeport won't suck as much this year.
Well, we'll see what they do. Well, they got to add some veterans for the AHL. We'll touch on that next week because I guess next week we'll do draft recap and free agent preview. And
let's hope we're in a good mood.
Yeah, let's hope we're in a good mood because it's twofold. It's the draft, and then hopefully everything with the arena is continuing to go fantastic.
Just another reminder, we don't know for our listeners, to send an email, you know, again, not obligated to voteyesnyarena@gmail.com. If you want, again, totally not necessary, but it's very, very helpful. Send an email with your name and address and anyone else you know that's voting to voteyesnyarena@gmail.com. It would help us out vastly. We're going to send it to the legislators at NYFA. So just, if you could help us out, we'd really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. I think that does it for this week. We will see you next week, June 29th, for the draft recap.